Join with me as we read together from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 7 through 14. David had written a particular song or psalm of thanksgiving. We find the entirety of this psalm in the 105th psalm. But I want you to notice the words that are spoken here. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning at verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord. He delivered it, the psalm, to thank the Lord. He delivered it into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. And the psalm said, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servants, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth." May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Join me, please, as we go to the throne of grace. Father, your scripture tells us that your word is true and right altogether. It is pure. It is powerful, and we come tonight begging that you would give us understanding as we read and hear your word. We realize, Father, that it is a deep well from which to draw, a rich mine that we can continue to find new and fresh thoughts. And Father, you know what we need tonight. And as you have placed some particular passages upon my mind, bless me, Lord, that I might be able to speak from them. Bless the hearts and the minds of each one who hears, whether here in our sanctuary or by the means of the electronic broadcast that is going out. Help us, Lord, to hear your word. Help us to learn from it, to rejoice in it. But more than that, just that we be moved to be doers of it, is my prayer for Christ's sake. And amen. This morning, as we read from this particular passage of Scripture in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we looked at three basic thoughts from it. When he says in verse 8, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name." We endeavored to look at three other passages from the Old Testament that were words that David had given about three particular things that we are to call to mind as we give thanks to the Lord. We found in Psalm 30, verse 4, that we were to give thanks at the remembrance of God's holiness. Thankful that ours is a God who is high and holy. He is different from all other ideas of men's gods. He is a holy God. We saw in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 15, as David continued in this passage, that they were to remember and to be thankful at hearing the covenant and the word of the Lord. We are to be thankful at the promises that God has given. And then in Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5, we find that we're exhorted to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, that we were to bless his name, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. Yeah. God is a holy God. God is a God who clearly gives His word and His promise. And He's a God who is merciful to us, who so often come short of obeying all of His commands. I want to ask you to go with me now to the New Testament tonight. As we've looked at those three passages this morning, I want you to look with me primarily at the words that Paul wrote hundreds of years later. Paul expressed things in a different culture. He expressed things to the Gentiles to whom he ministered, but he brought us much those same things. We saw that what happened hundreds of years over there was, we will see that it's basically the same things that Paul was telling believers that came out of the Gentile cultures, out of the Roman culture, out of the Greek culture, out of the different countries through which Paul came. Yet he was telling all of them basically the same thing, that they were to remember the covenant and the promise of God. Look with me, first of all, at Colossians chapter 1. And we'll read verses 9 through 13. I would call your attention particularly to verse 12. Colossians 1, beginning at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now there are a great many things that are spoken of in there that could be called to light, but for the sake of time, I would ask you just to notice something that we're told in verse 9. David said that they were to give thanks at His covenant, at His promise. I want you to notice that Paul reminds these people in verse 12 that they were to give thanks to the Father who hath made us. Paul grouped himself with them. Paul was a Jewish man. These people at Colossae were many of them Gentiles. Paul was an older man. Some of these may have been younger individuals. But Paul grouped himself with them as a recipient of the grace of God. He is the God who hath made us meet or suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. How do we get to be an heir? How do we get to be suitable to take part in what God has provided? You see, the first thing for us to remember tonight, as we think about God who established His covenant, God is the one who in His power makes us suitable to partake of what He has for us. It's a marvelous thing when you think about it. God never says to us, get yourself in line and then come and I'll give you what I have ready for you. He does call upon us to repent. He does call upon us to change the course of action in our lives that differ from His commandment. But what He does is He makes us suitable. He makes us meet. He makes us suit His level. We don't have to get to His level. He makes us suitable to His level in Jesus Christ. He has chosen us in Christ. Christ did always those things that please the Father. That was by the statement of the writers of Scripture. And God, in His own statement, said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You know, the great joy of His grace is that God makes us suitable to be an inheritant of His kingdom. An inheritant of the saints of life. I come short so many times. While David reminded them that God had made a promise to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, and through that promise it came to the Jews, it is also true to us that God has made a promise in Jesus Christ, and God has made us meet. He made us meet His level. I don't have to bring myself up, because He came down to pick me up. Now that sounds like a little bit of semantics, doesn't it? But let me tell you, it's not. Not at all. What it is God, who was able, picked up us who were not able, and has made me suitable to have what He has prepared for me. The book of the Revelation, John makes this statement in Revelation chapter 11, verse 17. There were elders, verse 16 says, there were elders that sat before God on their seats, and they fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because..." Now this is the phrase I want you to notice. "We give thee thanks because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned." You see, folks, God has made us suitable. But He did so in that He has taken His own great power and He has ruled over His creation. He didn't turn it loose. He didn't just let it go. Even when Satan corrupted it through the temptation that He gave to Adam and Eve, God didn't withdraw His hand. God did chastise and judge and cast away from the garden Adam and Eve, and they had to earn their living by the sweat of their brow. What I want you to notice is God didn't remove His control. God didn't remove His reign. God hasn't removed His reign from our world today. With everything we look around at that seems to be so volatile and so hard to understand and so difficult to deal with, God's still sitting on His throne. How is He able to make us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of life? Because He sits on the throne and works all things according to the pleasure of His good will. How did He take unto Himself the power to do that? Well, it was His power. But I want you to notice, there's one particular way that He took that power, and that He reigns as God the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I lay down my life. No man taketh it from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to" what? To take it again. He took that great power. He took His power and raised Himself from the dead and rules as Victor, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the soon coming King. I don't know how soon that might be, or in my lifetime, or years down the road, but I'm going to tell you, since time is not a measurement that defines God, it'll be coming at His appointed hour. There are many things that say that it might be soon. Paul knew in his day, and Peter knew in their day, that it might have been most any time. Hasn't been. But his power gave the assurance to us that he has lifted us with him. He has taken his power. He has had that power brought to reign over our lives. Do we give thanks to God because of his power that rules? His power as the reigning sovereign. We often think about that power. Oh, I need his power to do this for me, or I need his power to provide that for me, or I need his power to heal this or to make that whole. You understand just the very fact that he is God who sits upon the throne and has dominion over all things is the same God that Nebuchadnezzar came to realize in the book of Daniel. That he is the God who sits upon the throne, who rules among the armies of heaven, the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say unto him, what doest thou? And none can stay his hand. You see, folks, we ought to give thanks to God just simply because he is God. I don't need a lot of long list of reasons. There are plenty of them, but I'm going to tell you the fact that he is God and he has brought me to know him is a great reason for which we ought to give him thanks. He's taken his power to reign. Go back into the book of Colossians again and look at that passage in Colossians 1 verse 12. Look at what he says. He hath made us meet to be partakers. Not just a want to, but to be able to live and partake in all that God has provided for us. If you go into the book of Romans, you find there that in Romans chapter 8, that God said through Paul that we are, that the Holy Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And if sons, then heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You see, he's made me suitable to be a partaker. What would you feel like if you walked into a banquet room and there was this rich array of food spread before you, and yet you were told you couldn't have any of it? How would you feel if you sat and watched others enjoy? Well, since it's Thanksgiving, I'll use these illustrations. To enjoy the turkey legs and the sweet potato pies and the biscuits and all of the things that they were enjoying, and you were told you couldn't have any of that. But you see, our elder brother has prepared a place for us that we could come and sit down at that table of God's grace because he sits there and we sit with him. God has made us meet and God has made us partakers through his power. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 4 tells us something else. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus. He thanked God for what God did in the lives of his people. It's one thing to thank God because we live in the beautiful world that we live in. It's one thing to thank God because of something he's done for me. Have you ever thought about how much we ought to give thanks to God simply because of what we see him doing in the lives of his saints around us? As we watch and he draws other believers unto himself, and we see new believers born of the Spirit and drawn from the world and brought into the fellowship of his kingdom, as we see older saints who walk through troublesome times, and yet they evidence the great testimony of faith. Tell you folks, Thanksgiving is not just about what's put on the table. It's about what we watch Jesus do in blessing upon each of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Just think tonight. Look around you at those that are here. And this is by no means all that we need to be thankful for. But just look at the ones that are around you. Younger to older, male and female, long-time believer, newer believer. But what do you see in their lives? What do you see that Jesus has done for them? What do you see that God, through the blood of His Son, has done in the lives of other believers? Paul was a very learned man. Paul was a very skilled preacher. Paul was a very powerful orator of the Word of God under the blessing of the Holy Spirit. But Paul looked about at what God's grace had done in the lives and the behavior and the testimony and the witness of others that weren't even physically very close to him, but he heard about what they had done. He knew it was God that made that difference in them. I'm going to tell you, folks, it's one thing for us to think about God reigning on high. It's one thing for us to think about God having made me meet to enjoy what He's prepared for me. It's another thing for me to spend my time looking about at others and thanking God for what He does in your life. That ought to be part of our practice of giving thanks. Being mindful of what God's grace does in the lives of others. And then you can turn over just a little bit into his 2 Thessalonian level letter. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want you to notice verse 3. We are bound, notice that word, we are bound to thank God. This is not an option. It's a responsibility. We're bound by God's grace to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. We see faith growing. We look about at the works that it produces, the charity, the love that comes out of it. For by grace are you saved. What's the next phrase of that statement? From Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet Paul looked at the evidence of that faith in the lives of these Thessalonian saints and other churches to whom he wrote. He looked at their faith growing. Well, I thank y'all for following what I said. No, I thank God for His grace, which strengthens your faith. But folks, Paul acknowledged that he looked at their faith. He looked at the presence of that faith. He looked at the actions of that faith. He looked at the testimony of that faithfulness. And where did he see it? That the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. It overflows. It's not just minimal. It's not just occasional. It's not just a little bit of it. But the growing faith and trust in God brought about in those believers the life that followed what Jesus said when He said, "Love one another as I have loved you." And you see, folks, That faith brought about an abounding charity, an overflowing life of love. And charity, oh, we gave money. No, it was so much more than that. That may have well been involved. They gave to where they could meet one another's needs. The disciples brought that what they had in, and that it could be used to meet the needs of those that didn't have. That was part of it. But why? Because of the love that flowed out of them to provide for others in need. Why? Because Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And by faith, they did that. We look at one another as the testimony of God's grace through our faith. Faith to believe in Jesus Christ. Faith to follow Jesus Christ. Faithful to serve Him by serving others. What was it He said to those that came to Him? He was talking of in Matthew chapter 25. He looked at one group and He said, blessed of you of my Father, come inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me to eat. And I'm paraphrasing this. I'm not going to include everything that He said. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you gave me something to wear. I was alone in prison and you came to see. Well, Lord, when did we do all of these things? Where did their faith abound in charity? Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. He also turned to others and He said to them, depart from me, because you never did these things. Well, wait a minute. Why? Because you never did it to the least of these, my brethren. You see, my beloved, when we look at Thanksgiving, while we have the joy of bounty in our land, the very presence of faith that moves to charity and love is a reason to thank God, because it's the evidence of His grace. I look at God who made you suitable for His family. I look at God who gave you His grace. I look at God who gave you who brought you in through His covenant, according, and we'll go on into the book of Ephesians in just a minute. But in that same passage, He said, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. When David wrote to the Jewish people, it was because God had chosen them in Abraham, in a covenant relationship. Paul said to the Ephesians, Paul said to the Thessalonians, Paul said to the Corinthians, those who were among the Gentiles, that God had made choice of them, not through Abraham, but through Jesus Christ, from before the foundation of the world. You see, God's covenant does the same thing for us that the covenant with Abraham did for the Jews, because that covenant was a type of what would be fulfilled in Jesus Christ for all of God's people throughout every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every tribe. You see, folks, we ought to be thankful for the covenant of God's promise, as we have been blessed to hear it, to see it, to know it. In Ephesians chapter 5, I'll give you just one more tonight. Paul looks at these Gentile believers. He says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, that he was giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. Giving thanks, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on into the next verse, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You see, folks, we look about at our brothers and sisters who are recipients of grace, who are evidence of God's gift of faith, who we're thankful for them. But if God has worked in their lives, then I can submit myself to them as recipients of God's grace and of His mercy. I don't have to prove that I'm above them. I don't have to prove that I'm somehow different from them. I don't have to prove that I'm more than... I can submit myself. That's not degrading me. That's recognizing the gift of God's grace in each one of His children. That He elevates all of us alike in Christ. Beloved, you see, our giving of thanks... We have a history in this country. We have a... Some people would call it a tradition. I'm going to tell you it was an accurate record of some things that took place in this country that have been stepping stones and reminders to us. There were a group of people whom we came to know as pilgrims. They were pilgrims in the same way that you and I are pilgrims. We're traveling in a world in which we don't really belong. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Those people left a land where they felt that they were oppressed and unable to worship the Lord according to His Spirit. They came to a new land. They faced all sorts of difficulties. We read of the numbers of their group that died. Over half the people that came over here that first year died. We read of the starvation many of them faced. We read of the severity of what they faced because they weren't prepared for the weather. We've laughed about the cold weather the last day or two. How would you like to have it even far worse than this and have virtually little to protect yourself from it? But you see, when they came through those things, they were blessed to have Native Americans show them certain things and work with them on certain things. And they were blessed to come to a point of a harvest that they could turn around and say, God's given us this. And they shared it. We have that history. And we think about the bounty of our land. We think about the joy of what we have. We think about the enjoyment of what we're able to eat and what we can look forward to. But folks, if that's the scope of our thankfulness, then we miss the focus of Scripture. Because you see, our focus should be on the God who gave the bounty, not just upon having the bounty. Our focus is to be upon God who made us suitable to be in His family, who gave us a faith that grows in order to be charitable towards someone else. I can give thanks to God for everything because He's God. I'll close tonight by asking you to go back with me to 1 Chronicles, that 16th chapter. I want to go to verses 31 through 36, and we'll close with this passage. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning at verse 31. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let men say among the nation, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. That's kind of what we do when we harvest, isn't it? Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together, deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Folks, as we look at that passage, we have so much to give thanks to God for, simply because he is good. May we take these scriptures, may we have our mind focused upon God himself and what he has given us. And may our faith and may our life be lived in an abounding love toward one another to his praise. And that we give thanks even for each other to God who made us fit to be together. Lord, help us, is my prayer.